Sabbath day, to experience a day like none other, a day of rest, a day of peace, a day of coming together in one accordance with thee. Lord, we ask, we invite, we look forward to the experience today of being with thee. And so now, Lord, we ask that you will move in a special way, touch, lead, guide, direct our paths, and let us feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Invite you to recite with me and or read our fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Let us read or recite together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rest the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Lord, saints, I don't know about you, but when we get to heaven, that's got to be on the song list right there. I can't wait to sing it when the gates made new. Amen. We just want to praise God. You know, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't care what happened this week. I don't care how bad it's been. We're in a war. We're in a battle. But the Bible says, I will bless the Lord. My body's hurting, but I will bless the Lord. I might not have enough money in the bank, but I will bless the Lord at all times. Because his praises shall continually be in my mouth. God said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Everybody didn't wake up this morning. But when you found out that the battle was decided in your favor, that was the time to praise the Lord. Amen. They say this is the call to worship. But the call to worship was when you woke up this morning. Amen. You didn't have to wait till you got to church. You didn't have to wait till the 11 o'clock hour. It's time to worship when you woke up. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. You may be seated. We just want to welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord, to the tabernacle of praise, where everybody is somebody in worship. is truly a joy. Amen. On behalf of our pastor, Jonathan B. Fields, and First Lady Melody Fields, we just want to extend a warm tabernacle of praise. Welcome to everyone this morning. Is there anyone visiting with us for the first time? Amen. Is there anyone visiting with us that are not members of Tabernacle of Praise yet? Just raise your hand. Amen. It's okay. It's okay. And I had to put the word yet on there. Amen. Amen. But like that song said, it won't be long. And we'll be coming on home to the tabernacle. Amen. We're just so happy this morning. And I just want to say right off the top that we're having another giveaway after church. Amen. Brother Chester has the truck outside. And it's loaded with clothes, new clothes and things. Okay, but we don't want to spend too much time at the tailgate party, because we got to go out in the field. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that's always a blessing when you come to the top. Amen. Somebody might need a humidifier. Amen. We got, now this is for the needy, not the greedy. Amen. If you need one. Amen. So some other household items in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The t-shirts will be available next week. Amen. Amen. Now, I did use the word available on purpose. Amen. Now, if you have not yet submitted your $10 for your shirt, I know they some say, Jesus, I thought Jesus paid it all, but he didn't pay for the t-shirts. Amen. So just put that in your tithe envelope. Amen. If you have not gotten your name on the list to get a t-shirt, now we did get some extra ones. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can still get your t-shirt. Amen. And this coming Wednesday night, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we are studying out of the book Last Day Events. Amen. Now, this is not just a regular run-of-the-mill prayer service, but the title of this chapter, of this book that we're reading out of, is Last Day Events. Yes, weep for the children. Last day events. How many of you believe that we're in the last days? Yep, I saw half the church. That's pretty much right. Because some of us are not living like we're not ever planning on leaving. But I don't know about you, but I'm tired. That's the old folks say, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Amen. Of being down here, the enemy is just attacking on every hand. Every time I turn around, I go to pick up one of the members, and there's a church. I thought they were Seventh-day Adventists. I said, man, I didn't know there was another Seventh-day Adventist church on Highway 367. But I found out that there was a funeral every Sabbath. Almost every Sabbath, there's a funeral going on. People are just down. I was praising the Lord that nobody died this week. Amen. But we can't take it for granted. Some of us are looking at trying to study the prophecies and trying to time it when we can get really serious about the Lord. But folks, what we've been studying for years, we're living in it right now. We're living in it right now. If you all haven't been paying attention to what's going on, the Bible says the last events are going to be rapid ones. So this is the time to make our calling and election sure, to make our lamps trimmed and burning. Don't get caught up in all the worldliness trying to get this and trying to obtain that. We need to hold this earth and these possessions like a loose garment, because everything that we have down here is going to be burned up. That beautiful house, that nice car, it's all kindling for the fire. So we need to make our calling and election sure, because the only thing that's going to last is our characters. That's the only thing we take in the glory. Amen. So we want to encourage you on Sunday. And it's not just for us, but this is evangelism. Call a friend and tell them, hey, tune in to this Zoom line. We're talking about something very important because people want to know what's going to happen. I want to be ready, and we have the answer. It's no use in having all this information, all this accumulated knowledge just to sit on it and ponder it. But we have to share this abroad. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. So the more we know, the more God is going to hold us accountable. So we can't just stand on the promises and sit on the premises. Amen. Amen. So this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and if you don't have the Zoom link, if you're not on the line to get the Zoom link, just see me afterwards and we'll make sure we get your number on that link. We want 100% participation in our upcoming events. I know you saw that big sign coming in. Thank the carols. Amen. Beautiful. And they're going to be talking about it in depth, but I just want to just put a nugget right here that we want 100% participation. Amen. There's not going to be any starless crowns in heaven. Amen. So you're going to have to tell somebody, and you, all of you know somebody that has kids. We want you to be here for our vacation Bible school leading up to the Backpack Sabbath. Amen. Church, this is the pep rally right here. This is where we get excited to go out and do work for the Lord. I was just talking to my wife this morning. I said, this week we're going to go out to our neighbors on our street. Amen. You don't have to worry about over in Africa what's going on over there. Just right around your house. Some of us don't even know our neighbors. You know, we're living in a society where people just go straight into their garage, close the door. You never see them. But so we have to be proactive. Just knock on the door. I know it's a little dangerous out there, but they know. Just make sure it's daytime, you know. Knock on the door and stand back. Don't knock on the door like you're the police. Just a nice holy knock and have a smile on your face. Just say, I'm here to spread the good news. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 13:11, and knowing the time, it is high time to wake up out of sleep. Amen. You all know the parable of the 10 virgins. Half of them were asleep. All of them were asleep, as a matter of fact. But when they woke up and said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, trim your lamps. This is that time. This is the loud cry right now. It's time to trim them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's continue in our worship.
Come on and stand to your feet with us. If you want to put your hands together, you can do that too. But we've been singing, hallelujah, all day since God woke us up this morning.
All day, I've been singing, hallelujah.
Somebody ready to go to heaven. And the Bible tells us that God inhabit our praise. So it must be putting a real smile on God's face when his children come in his presence just to worship and glorify his name. And as a result, as we're doing it in connection with our Creator, God promised not just to show up, but to fulfill all things. And this is our time right now where we can come and connect with each other and connect with God's Spirit and ask him to do just that, to fulfill all things in our lives. What do you say? So I'm asking you to come to the altar and come and pray with me. Because now it is getting real serious. Because there's things that the devil have discouraged us about. And he has brought distractions from what God intended you to see, believe, and receive. But what Christians do, we hasten.
God's throne. Come on, every heart, come on and pray with me. Come on and pray with me. Spirit of the living God, we find it a privilege for a time such as this in the world that you are still connecting with your people. Just for that reason, we just say thank you. We see in this troubled world and all the confusions and the distractions and all the crime and all the things that take place, your mercy still endured for us. For that reason, we just say thank you. Even though we see ourselves find ourselves being short of glory and sin is just always a part of our lives, but we are so grateful for your grace. Yes. For that reason, we say thank you. We believe that this moment is a special moment that you have brought into existence, because now we can plead the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. And the Bible tells us that it will wash and cleanse us. For that reason, God, we say thank you. We believe that your spirit is trying to save us. For that reason, we say thank you. We believe that your spirit is trying to restore us and redeem us and refine us. For that reason, we say thank you. Even though that we have an enemy who's seeking us to devour us, but by your protection and your loving kindness, God, that you give us daily, every day of our lives, for that reason we say thank you. Now we believe that you have a blueprint for our lives, and you promised us that you will fulfill all things. That the things that you have started and began in us, that you will fulfill it. So God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that the Holy Spirit that he had now resides with us, will give us this day our daily bread. We ask that we are forgiven from our trespass. We ask, Lord, that you will come into our lives like never before and open our eyes that we may see the true glimpses of truth direct from thee. We believe that heaven, Lord, right now is listening and hearing. But God, we don't just want you to hear our prayer. We don't want you just to hear our plea. We don't want you just to hear our requests. We want you to move on our behalf. So somebody, somewhere on this earth will see that we belong to you and you care for them. So we're standing right now, presenting ourselves right now, God, as a living sacrifice for you to do something powerful, for something wonderful, something amazing, something marvelous, something fantastic, so the world can know that you are real. Lord, today, you know each and every one of us needs some form of help. We ask you to touch our bodies, because you know we have health issues. We ask you to touch our finances, because you know we are low with money. But most of all, God, we ask that you touch our hearts, that we can stay in love with you. So now, Spirit of the living God, come on and fall afresh upon us. Today on these sacred hours, we desire a special visitation from you. Touch your manservant as you see fit. We believe that you have given him a word for your church.
And we ask that the message that you have allowed him to prepare will help us grow in our relationship with you and each other, so that you can be satisfied, you can be glorified, but we can be sanctified. So bless him and keep him, oh God. Touch him. Allow that your spirit will take full control and that we will benefit from what you have designed. This is our prayer. This is our plea in the mighty, awesome, beautiful name above every name in the universe, Jesus. And in your name, we ask for these things. Let the church say, amen. Amen.
I think you can hear me now. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now it's time where everyone can participate, stewardship time. Not always about money, although that is part of it, time, talent, temple, and treasure. But I want to talk to you about your time, talent, temple, and treasure today in terms of outreach. You see this shirt that I'm wearing? Y'all got one of these shirts. Everybody didn't wear theirs today, but I know people have them for going on the outreach, which Elder McCray is leading this afternoon. But if you pay close attention, this shirt kind of outlines the principle or the process of outreach. So the first thing it says is enter. Enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and praise. So we come to the service here at the Tabernacle of Praise, the top, and then it says experience. So we experience worship with beautiful music, beautiful message from the Lord, solemn prayer and fellowship. So we experience that. And then it says engage, which means don't just sit there like a bump on a log, but get engaged, be involved. Don't just watch everybody else praise the Lord. Praise the Lord yourself. And we don't all do it the same way either, right? So praise the Lord the way that you praise the Lord. But be engaged, be involved. And then finally it says extend, which means don't keep it to yourself, don't hide your light under a bushel, but take it out into the community, which is what we're going to do this afternoon. So we enter, we experience, we engage, and then we extend. And do you know what that makes us? That's right. Y'all saw the back of the shirt, didn't you? Makes us agents of change. That means we don't just keep God's word to ourselves. We don't keep the blessings to ourselves, but we share them with others so that they can be also blessed by God, so that they too can get to know him, so that they too can be changed by his Holy Spirit's presence. So that's why we like to say stewardship is a time where everybody can participate. Because we're all called to be witnesses, right? When you accept Christ as your Savior, he says, you are my witness. And what does a witness do? They tell the truth. That's what a good witness does, tell the truth. And then we're also called ambassadors for Christ, which means we represent him in everything that we do. So that when we go out this afternoon, we're representing Christ. We have to represent him in what we say, in what we do, how we act, how we treat people, and even in our very thoughts, we have to represent Christ so that we can be the agents of change that he calls us to be. So as faithful stewards, remember, that's our duty to become agents of change by entering, experiencing, engaging, and then extending. Amen. Now, we're also extending on July 27th, Backpack Sabbath. I hope y'all been telling your friends and neighbors. Amen. Because, you know, we've had several organizations contact us to get a lot of backpacks for their groups. We just gave out 40 backpacks just yesterday to an organization. We have two other organizations who are going to come and get backpacks. So make sure you get in line. Tell your people to get in line. And you don't want to miss out. We want to help our children learn, right? A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So we want to do our part to help our young people get started on the right track. When they learn how to read, they learn how to read God's word, amen? And that's going to change their entire life. At this time, would our deacons come forward to lift the morning's tithe and offering? Let us pray as they come. Dear Lord, we thank you once again for the privilege you give us constantly to return that which you have first given to us. We ask and pray that this tithe and offering will be used for the worthy purpose, dear Lord, of spreading the gospel message to all the world in this generation, and also to help us to remember and to learn to depend on you as our source, and not our jobs and not our bosses and not mankind, but that everything, dear Lord, comes from you, and of thine own have we given to thee. In the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. So glad to be here. thank you, Lord.
Give you honor.
Love you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Give you reverence.
Give you reverence.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Thank you, Lord.
Show enough love you.
Show enough love you. Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Do you love him?
Do you love him?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Be a witness.
Here to give him glory today. All glory and honor should go to God, the head of our lives. Amen. If it wasn't for him, none of us would be here. So if you're going to glory, glory in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, choir. That was beautiful, as always. Thank you so much. It's a blessing. Amen. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Glad to see all the smiling faces out here. Even though it's hot outside, it's nice and cool in here, amen? And that's the result of you being honest and faithful in your tithes and offerings, and we certainly do appreciate that. Y'all know I always like to break the ice a little bit, so I'm going to tell you a quick story. This is a true story, too. Story about how good God is. So I was at one of our apartments doing some work, and I was hopping back and forth over the little railing from one apartment to the next to work on this apartment. Then I'd hop over the railing and work on the other one. And I started noticing some droppings on the railing. And I said, these squirrels, you know, all over the place doing their thing on this railing. So I swept it off. And then I came back the next day, more droppings. So I'm like, now let me look. I said, the squirrels ain't coming two stories up. And I got them little silver things that keep them from climbing up the balcony. So I said, this can't be squirrels. I'm like, what kind of animal? So I was looking around. I noticed they were all congregated along the edge of the wall. So I started looking around. Look up in the little rafter area of the roof, and it's some bats. Yeah, that's what I see. Oh, mercy, bats. I don't want no bats in the belfry, right? So I'm trying to figure out, now what am I going to do about these bats? Because they're dangerous, you know? So I called Terminex. I called several places. A lot of them don't do bats. You got to get certain people to mess with them. So I finally called these people, and they came right out, and they looked at it and stuff. And I said, man, I said, gee, can y'all get rid of these? I can't have bats. Ain't nobody going to rent an apartment with bats. So, yeah, so the guy, he looked at it, and I said, just give me the estimate and let me know what it's going to take. And I said, what do y'all do? He says, well, we trap them all, and then we seal up the whole building and make sure they're gone. And we guarantee it for so many months or something. So I says, well, I asked him some more questions, come down to it. They couldn't guarantee that they could seal it up because the building was taller than what the amount of space they would seal. So he's like, we go 21 feet up from the ground. I said, the building's like 30 foot. So he said, I said, can't you go from the top down? Because that's where the bats are. And he said, no, we can't do that. So I was like, so you can't even guarantee it. He said, no. He said, we can get rid of them, but they come back next week. It's too bad. I said, and how much is all this going to cost? He said, that's going to be, he didn't even blink, $27.50. So I said, oh, $27.50? All right, get at it. And he was like, no, $2,750. And I was like, man, I don't want $2,750, and y'all can't even guarantee nothing? That was a waste of money. So I said, now what I had to do, call on the Lord. I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? So I was thinking about it, and I went and got some of that animal repellent that's supposed to get rid of animals. And I had the repellent, and I tested it, and the repellent only went like 2 feet. When you spray it, I'm like, well, I can't be messing with these bats 2 feet close to me. I don't want to get bit by a rabid bat. So I said, now what can I do? So what I did, I said, well, I got some hornet spray, Joe. The hornet spray go 27 feet. So I said, I'm going to duck behind the door and spray these bats and hope they don't come after me. So my brother-in-law was with me too, and he was looking out the window scared, and I'm looking out the door scared, and I took the hornet spray, and I would shoot it and duck back inside, and it was kind of weird because the bats took off flying, and they just as creepy in real life as on a horror movie. It was weird. They flew off, and I sprayed some more and got them all out there and double-checked. And then I came back and I boarded up the area and sealed it up and then sprayed some more repellent up there and got rid of them. So God bless me to save that money. $27.50 ain't nothing to sneeze about, but that's how good God is. It doesn't matter what your problem is. It might be something big. It might be a little bat, which they just flying mice, really. They that small, but they look really weird. And I was glad. And in fact, the professionals, the guy told me, he said, we can't even remove them till August 16th. I said, man, y'all that busy? He said, no, it's a law against it. You can't touch them till after they finish breeding, which who wants to wait for that? So I said, no, that don't make sense. I said, who? He said, they protected. I said, protected from who? Who's shooting bats? Nobody hunting bats for dinner. But anyway, the Lord was good, and as always, and blessed me to save that funds, which any problem you got, God can solve it, and he already has the answer. So I thank the Lord for blessing me with that. But that's a true story about how good God is. Regardless of what your situation is, he will bless you. At this time, we want to look to our scripture for today's word. is Acts 16, and it is going to be verse 31 through 34. So if you would stand with me, Acts 16, verse 30, and we'll go through verse 34. Let's read this responsively. That means I'll read the first verse, you read the next verse. And it says, and he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house.
And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized.
Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege to bring your word. We ask and pray for your Holy Spirit's presence. This is your time, Lord. Bless us with a word from on high. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Amen. Today's message is, what must I do to be saved? Very important pronoun there. Not what must they do. Not what must them other folk do. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? And you know, there's so many different theories about how you get saved, who can be saved, if you once saved, are you always saved? So many opinions, but you know what they say about opinions? Opinions are like underwear. Everybody's got them. So you don't know who to believe. But one thing is certain, that God has committed in his word all the knowledge we need to be saved. Now, you have a little pocket Bible, it's about this thick. Then you got a family Bible that's about that thick. No matter how big it is, that book cannot contain God. That's just enough for us to be saved in there. And sometimes people look at the red letter where Jesus spoke, and they think that's all he ever said. In 33 and a half years, you know he said a whole lot more than that. But that's just enough to be saved. So we know what we must do to be saved has to be in God's word somewhere. And his scriptures are to be accepted as the authoritative, infallible. That means it don't fail. Even if you don't believe it, it's still true. God said it. That settles it. You can believe it or not. It's the revealer of doctrines and the test of experience. And every scripture is inspired of God. How many scriptures? All scripture. So you can't be cafeteria style, pick and choose what you want that day. All scripture is inspired of God. Profitable for teaching, so you can teach your children. Profitable for reproof and correction, so you can point somebody in the right direction. Profitable for instruction in righteousness, so you can say this is how God expects us to be righteous, that the man and woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished and completed for every good work. When did the plan of salvation start? Why do we need a plan of salvation? What must we do to be saved? You know, God in his omnipotence created a plan of salvation to save people from sin before sin even happened. That's right. Now that's some foresight. Yeah. That's some planning. That's what we need to start doing with our own lives. Yeah. Think ahead. Right. Don't wait till stuff happens and then respond. Think ahead. What's going to happen if I do this? What's going to happen to them if I make this move? What's going to happen if I don't take certain action? Don't just wait and be responsive, respond to things. So God already had a plan before sin even existed. Just like our own personal lives, everybody's going through something. You either going through something, just came out of something, or going into something. And we always think, oh, God, you got to help me. You don't know what's going on. Yes, he does. He knew before you knew. And the nice thing is, he already got a plan to how to get you out of it. So we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We don't have to cry our tears out. Just know that God already got you covered. Every time human beings get into a bad situation, we always call on two people, mama and God. We always call on, mama, help. You know, sometimes mama don't have the answers. But God has all the answers. And that's why we have to think about it. Before we even ask, God has a plan in motion to save you and to get you out of trouble. So when we think about the plan of salvation to save us from sin, sin started in what garden?
Eden.
The Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And so we read in Genesis 3, verse 1 to 5, that the serpent was more subtle or tricky than any other beast of the field which God made. And he said to the woman, yay, just greeting her. Hi, how you doing? As the kids say now, hey, yo. What's up? Just greeted her. And then he said, did God say, you can't eat of none of these trees in here? He already knew that wasn't what God said. And Eve said, no, he said we can eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden except the one in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. We're not supposed to eat it. We're not even supposed to touch it. And the serpent said to her, Eve said, we should not eat it or touch it, lest we die. And the serpent said to her, you ain't really going to die. Nah, he just joking about that. He just playing with you. You ain't really, he ain't going to kill you. Why would he kill you? He just created you. He ain't going to kill you. Don't even believe it. He just messing with you. And then he said, because God knows when you eat off that tree, you're going to be just like him. You're going to know good from evil. Your eyes will be open and you'll be just like God. One thing is true, because they sin, we do know good and evil. At first, there was no evil. But because of sin, now we do know good and evil. And do you think God panicked? Not at all, because like I said, he already had the plan. He knew what was going to happen. And he said it later on in verse 15, because you have done this, speaking to the serpent who was being used by the devil, because serpents don't talk, right? What would you do if your cat start talking to you? Wouldn't you be like, hey, wait a minute, I'm out of here. But Eve talked to the serpent, which was strange, that she's looking at this serpent talking to her and conversing with her like Dr. Doolittle. That ain't how it works. It was the devil speaking through the serpent. So God said to the devil, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, meaning between your seed and my seed. It shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Now, unless you've studied your Bible, that verse don't really mean a whole lot, does it? But once you study that scripture, you realize and you find out that that verse was saying there will come a savior. The devil's going to injure him, but it won't be fatal. But that he, the savior, is going to fatally injure the devil. The plan of salvation right there already. Now, speaking, God told the devil about that. The central theme of the Bible, about which every other book in the Bible is about, is the plan of salvation. Starting in Genesis, all the way through to Revelation, is telling us about the plan of salvation. No matter where you look in the scriptures, we're reminded that God is long-suffering. He's merciful. He's loving, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we all come to repentance and be saved. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die. You know, a while back, the preachers used to preach fire and brimstone, that God's going to destroy you and God's going to pluck your eyes out and God's going to burn you eternally in fire. That's not the God I read about. His whole plan is to save each and every one of us from the wages of sin. The entire Bible is full of promises, eyewitness examples, blessings of how much God loves us and how much he wants us to be saved. Can we truly be saved. What must I do to be saved now? What must I do to be saved during the last day events? You know, we're studying that book on Wednesday, last day events. Do you know what last day events are? They're events that happen in the last days. We're in the last days of Earth's histories, and there's a lot going to happen that you don't even know about, unless you've been studying the scriptures and the prophecies. For example, Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to the people about last days events. And he says, don't let anybody fool you. There's going to be a lot of false Christ. People coming claiming they're Christ. Has anybody heard of any false Christ? Yeah, we've all heard of false Christ. He's going to say there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Anybody heard of wars and rumors of wars? There's so many wars going on now, we don't even know about all of them. A lot of wars happening already. And he says the end is not yet. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines. Have you heard of people starving? People are starving all over, not just in Africa. A lot of times we hear of people starving in Africa. People are starving in St. Louis. People starving right here in Spanish Lake. You, as was mentioned, you don't have to go to Africa to help somebody. You can help people right here. Pestilences. COVID-19 is on the uprise again. Now I guess it'd be COVID 2021. But it's on the upswing. Pestilence is everywhere. There are so many diseases in this world, you can't keep track of all of them. So now what the doctors and physicians do is try and create medicines to just get rid of the symptoms long enough for you to be okay. They can't cure nothing, but they'll get rid of the symptoms so you can go back to work. There's pestilences everywhere. Earthquakes all over places you didn't even think earthquakes should occur. Earthquakes are occurring. Right here in St. Louis, in Missouri, the New Madrid Fault runs from Cape Girardeau all the way up. And you know, it happened years ago so strong that it changed the course of the Mississippi River. And people are always looking for something big to happen again. Earthquakes all over the place. He says these are just the beginning. That's just getting started with the sorrows and with the sadness and with the destruction that's going to happen. Then Jesus says, then they'll deliver you up to be afflicted, to be tortured, and to kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We already know Christians suffer. We already know Christians die. We already know Christians have been and are being tortured even today. All those things are happening. And then many shall be offended and betray one another and start hating one another. Remember that song, What the World Needs Now?
Love.
But Jesus is telling us that ain't what's going to happen. It's going to be hatred, hating one another. Many false prophets shall arise. And then it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many, that's talking about church people. It's talking about church members' love shall wax cold. We already know non-believers don't have love. It's talking about the love of the church. Where that hatred he talked about is going to come into the church. Church members will be betraying one another. Church members will be hating one another. Last day events, nothing I can do about it. Except be an example of Christ myself. And that's what you can do, is be an example of Christ yourself. But it's already been prophesied to happen. Then he says, but they that shall endure till the end, the same shall be saved. So you're going to have to go through all that. As long as your life lasts, you got to just keep enduring. You got to keep persevering. You can't just let it get you down. There are so many people who just left the church because somebody said something to them they didn't like. Somebody says they didn't like their hat they wearing. Or they said they didn't like the suit that they was wearing. Or that color don't match. Or this or that. You got to learn to endure through that. If somebody on your job insults you, do you quit? No, you're not going to quit that job, are you? But why do people quit following God? Because of what somebody said. Why does it matter so much? We are serving God. That's who we're here to serve. We're worshiping God. That's who we're here to worship, not one another. So what if you insult me? I've been insulted my whole life. I'm pretty good at just ignoring it. You know what they say? Brush off the haters. Just keep on stepping. You don't have to worry about that. You have to endure till the end. And then it says the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. So all these things are going to be happening, and the gospel has to be preached to all the world then, after those things happen. Matthew 29 says, immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon will not give her light. How many times have the sun been darkened? Only once in history. And the moon not give her light, and the stars fall from heaven? The powers of the heavens shaken? Do you know all those things have already happened? There have been plenty of false Christs, wars, rumors, pestilence, earthquake, torture, murder, false prophets, love waxing cold. The sun was darkened on May 19, 1780. It was so dark in the middle of the day that you couldn't even see your hand right here in front of your face. The chickens went into their little chicken coop. The cows came on in to lay down to sleep. The birds came out. Even the bats I was talking about start flying around. It was that dark. It's never been that dark. We've had eclipses, but throughout the New England, the whole area, totally pitch black. And the moon also did not shine. And the stars fell from heaven November 2nd, 1833. So many stars fell, it looked like the whole heavens was falling. Now, I've seen shooting stars. I've seen it's called the Leonid star shower, where it's like one every couple minutes. This was so many stars, it looked like they were all falling. Unbelievable. Those things have already happened. There are no more signs left before Christ comes. So if you waiting on a sign, there ain't no more left. Nothing else for you to look for, according to God's word. And he says, and then, which means after all that happened, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory in the clouds of heaven. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from one end of heaven to the other. It's not going to be a secret rapture. Every eye shall see him. The trump of God shall sound. Even the dead shall awaken. How is it going to be a secret if it's so loud that the dead folk wake up? Not going to be a secret rapture. It's going to be visible to everyone so that everyone will know God was telling the truth. All those who say it's not true will be able to see, yeah, it was true, and I done made a big mistake. Everybody's going to say. But what is the sign of man? It says in the book Early Writings, our eyes were drawn to a small black cloud about half the large as a man's hand, which we all knew was the sign of the Son of Man. We gazed on the cloud as it drew nearer, became lighter, glorious, and more glorious, till it was a great white cloud. The bottom looked like fire, and there was a rainbow over the cloud, while around it were 10,000 angels singing a most lovely song. And upon it sat who? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ our Savior. His hair was white and curly, lay on his shoulders, and upon his head were many crowns. His feet had the appearance of fire, and his right hand was a sharp sickle, in his left a silver trumpet, and his eyes were a flame of fire which searched his children through and through. Not going to be secret. Christ is coming back. All the signs are gone except seeing him come in power and glory. And when we see that cloud coming and we see Jesus on the cloud, with the rainbow over him and the fire under him, it's too late to pray. It's too late to study the scriptures. It's too late to give your life to Christ then. What must I do to be saved has to happen now. You can't wait till you see him. What must I do to be saved? We have to be doing this now while we have time. He says, harden not your hearts while you hear his voice. This is the time to be saved. And it also points out that the gospel has to be preached to everyone. Now, the true gospel has been preached in 212 out of 235 countries around the world. But the scriptures also say the last movement shall be so rapid, you won't even see the last 13 countries being evangelized. I'm pretty sure some of them are being evangelized right now. And who knows how long it takes to get all the other 13. So that then the gospel has been preached everywhere. Then the Bible says the end shall come. Have you ever noticed how quickly things can happen in this world? Think about this. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, did you know it was going to happen the night before? No, nobody knew that was going to happen. We thought that was stable, but no. When it became illegal to drive and be on your cell phone, did you know the night before? No, didn't know. It just happened. The day before you got fired from your last job, did you know that was going to happen? If you did, you probably deserved to be fired. But you didn't know that stuff was going to happen. So you don't know when those last 13 countries will be evangelized. You don't know the day that Jesus is coming. Nobody knows. So you can't afford to sit back and wait and say, as soon as I see that cloud coming, I'm going to bow down and give my life to Christ. As soon as I hear the angel's trumpet, I'm going to give my life to Jesus and I'm going to run out and tell her it's too late. You cannot wait for those last days to happen. In this world, there's three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. And things are going to happen so quickly that you don't want to be the ones that's wondering what happened. And be like, oh man, wow, did you see what happened? Did you hear what happened? I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to be that. You don't want to be that person. Our responsibility is to share the gospel now, while we have time, while you're still in good enough health to do it. Even your health ain't promised. Next day you could be up in the hospital. Brother Percy will be tending to you. Sister Chan be working with you. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So today is the day that we have to share Christ with others. Today is the day that we must do what we can to be saved. We have to share the gospel. Now, as fallible humans, we ain't going to get it right. We just don't get everything right all the time. So when you're sharing the gospel, maybe you get it a little mixed up. Maybe you get your words kind of wrong. Maybe you might stumble a little bit, but don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. Our job is just to go ye therefore. And remember this too, preaching or spreading the gospel, not just for pastors and elders. You don't have to be up here on the pulpit to preach the gospel. You don't have to be a pastor or elder to preach the gospel. Your very life is preaching the gospel. When people look at you, they see a sermon, and they'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. So when people see you, what do they see? Are you a walking, talking example of Jesus Christ? Who was the last person that you shared Jesus with? What are your plans to let others know that Christ is coming again? And what are you doing to make sure that you are ready when he returns? What must I do to be saved? A question I hear people ask is, can I be saved with the seal of God or with the mark of the beast? Which one can I be saved with? Can I be saved with either one? Can I be saved with both of them? The book of Revelation speaks a lot about the seal of God and the mark of the beast. What is the seal of God? Every seal has certain distinct attributes to it. Has the name, has the title, and it has the territory that person has authority over. So when we look at the seal of God, well, first of all, think about this. Joe Biden, name, president, title, United States of America, territory. Tashara Jones, name, mayor, title, city of St. Louis, territory. The Lord God, name, creator, title, heaven and earth, territory. That's the seal of God. His name, his title, his territory. It's a sign of loyalty and obedience. You're not going to get that seal unless you are loyal to God, unless you are obedient to God, creator of heaven and earth. And the seal of God would be placed on your forehead, which signifies you made a direct choice, a cognitive, thoughtful decision to follow God. Not going to be no accident. Not going to be a happenstance. Nobody else can give it to you. You have to make the decision to follow God yourself. And it's not a mark that you can see. It's not a seal that you can see, like when you buy a can of corn, back it's got the little barcode. You're not going to be able to see it like that. Only those who have the likeness of Jesus Christ in character will receive that seal. That shows your loyalty. That shows your dependence and your trust and obedience to God. Now, a mark, on the other hand, shows someone's ownership. If I ask you who owns and you, whose mark is this, the golden arches, whose mark is that? McDonald's. If I ask you whose mark is the capital letter G in rainbow colors, Google. If I ask you who owns the swoosh, Nike. If I ask you who owns the mark of an apple with a piece bit out of it, Apple computer. That's their mark. That says, I own this. Now, the devil's mark, the mark of the beast, can be in your right hand or your forehead. Either you made a choice and say, I'm going to serve the devil, or through your actions or inactions, you receive that mark. You're not following God, you're following the devil. You get it in your right hand. There will come a time, it's not here yet, but there will come a time when Sunday worship will be a mark of the beast. It's not now, so don't go accusing your relatives of having the mark of the beast. It's only going to become that when it becomes a life or death choice that we have to make. You don't think people will kill you over religion, do you? You don't think people who call themselves Christians will kill you for not believing the way they believe, do you? Well, it's happened in history constantly. The Catholic Crusades was all about one church taking their power over another church or over another beliefs. So it's going to happen, and nobody wants to think of it, but it's God's word. It's prophecy. But until the law demands you make that choice, that's not the mark of the beast. First, there will come fines. You either do it this way or we're going to fine you. Then it comes jail time. You either do it this way or we're going to throw you in jail. And when that doesn't do it enough, now if you don't do it, we're going to kill you. And there won't be any middle ground. You're going to have to say yes, or you're going to have to say no to God's word and what God asks you to do. Whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you yield yourselves to obey. If you obey God, then you're God's servant. If you obey the devil, then you're the devil's servants. No middle ground. Whose side are you going to be on? You want to know what to do to be saved? Be on God's side. What must I do to be saved? God wants to see his image restored in every one of his children. But we must make the choice to walk in God's steps. I can't make the choice for you. I would like to, but I got my own battles to deal with. You have to make that choice. You can't let Big Mama make it for you. You can't let Daddy make it for you. You can't let your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, friend, neighbor, relative make that choice. Only you can make it. Because he's not going to judge us as a group. We're judged individually. So I can't go to Judgment Day and say theoretically to God, well, the pastor said, that ain't going to cut it. Well, Lord, the first elder told me, not going to cut it. Well, grandma told me, The Lord's going to say, what did I tell you in my word and in my testimony and through my Holy Spirit's presence? And everybody's got to answer for themselves. The first thing we have to do, as we read in our scripture, to be saved, to believe. You have to believe that Jesus is your Savior. You have to believe that the Son of God died on Calvary's cross to take the sin, the reward of sin from you. To take death from you and take on that punishment himself. You have to believe it. Then, as we read, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, it's a very interesting point to be made. You do have to believe, but you don't always have to get baptized. Y'all awfully quiet. Think about everybody in the Old Testament. How many people did you read about being baptized? None. John the Baptist came in with baptism during New Testament times. But do you not know that there are going to be millions of people saved who grew up in the Old Testament times? Of course, because they believed. They believed in a Savior. What about the thief on the cross? He believed, and Jesus told him, you're going to be with me in paradise one day. He didn't get baptized. Did they take him off the cross and baptize him? No. Belief is the first and major thing. And if you can be baptized, but let me make this point to you. Baptism comes first in your heart. Baptism comes first in here. That's where God says they believe because he sees your heart. The baptism in this pool is just an outward sign of an inward change of heart. So you've been baptized by the Spirit before you even get in the water. Those are things that we should do if possible. If a person is on life support, gives their life to Christ, we're not going to take them off the machine and go baptize them. The baptism is within your heart. Believe, be baptized, and as long as you can, as long as you are able, live a life according to God's word. The first thing, again, is to believe. And I want to let you know today, if you have not given your life to Christ, now is the time to do it. If you have not chosen Jesus as your Savior, do not wait. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Nobody's guaranteed to even walk out of this building today. Give your heart to Christ while you can, and then share him with others. That's our duty. What must I do to be saved? Believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you and your household who also believe shall be saved. That's his promise. That's what he says. You want to be saved? Accept my sacrifice on Calvary and then share it with others. Today we've got an opportunity to go out and share Christ with others. And I pray that everybody here that's able can come out with us. If you're not able to go out, pray for us. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer really does change things. We like to just say that, but it really does change things. So if you can't go out with us, then pray for us that God's Holy Spirit will lead and guide us and that many souls will be saved. You would be so surprised how easy it is to point somebody to Christ. When we just hand over that little sheet that says Backpack Sabbath and Vacation Bible School, and somebody brings their kid to Vacation Bible School, learns about Jesus, gives their life to Christ, all because you handed out a sheet of paper. It's easier to be saved than it is to be lost. Because God wants you to be saved. Let's do our part. Let's give our lives to Christ while we can, and then let's invite others to give their lives to Christ as well. Let us pray for God's Holy Spirit to bless us in that area. Loving Father, we thank you so much that you have had the plan of salvation in place before we ever needed it, before the foundation of the world, and it's there for each and every one of us for the taking. We thank you for it, Lord. We accept your salvation on Calvary. We ask that your Holy Spirit will bless us to lead others to Christ, to point others to Christ and him crucified, and to do as much as we can to share this gospel message, dear Lord. Bless us with your Holy Spirit's presence today as we go out. Bless our hearts, dear Lord, to be an example of Christ in all that we say, all that we do, and all that we act, in our ways that we act. And we pray, dear Lord, that each person here under the sound of my voice, as well as online, will give their lives to Christ, believe in him, that they too may be saved. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen and amen.
Thank you, Elder Lee Carroll, for that sermon today. Amen. That really touched me, and he broke some things down. Thank you for letting God use you for that sermon. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. So the title was, What Must We Do to Be Saved? Brother Carroll broke a lot of those things down, and one of those things is to be disciples for the Lord. So with that, that's what we're going to do today. We are going to be going out into our communities, and we are going to be passing out flyers for our Vacation Bible School and for our backpack giveaway. So we have two flyers. We will be passing out both. One flyer, the focus is on backpack Sabbath, and the other is the focus on Vacation Bible School. On the Vacation Bible School flyer, there is a QR code that we will be asking people to scan and register that way. So we need to tell them that the QR code will send them to an email address, which is my email address, and they are to put the names of their children and their ages and their contact information. For those who are online and would like to register for VBS Sabbath School, for VBS at TOP, my email address is McCray, McCray, Sheree, Sheree, at gmail.com. Thank you.
Amen and amen. You know, there's a cliche. And it's always asked, what will Jesus do? Yeah. I believe the Holy Spirit today is asking, what are we going to do? Yeah. Because people are going to Christless graves without the principles of God being introduced to them. Guess whose fault that is? So let us take this serious. So also, my wife didn't mention, but they are going to be decorating the church on the 20th of June, July 20th at 2 o'clock. That's going to be next Sunday, July 20th at 2 o'clock. They're going to decorate. They're going to make it beautiful. So when the VBS starts, when the Vacation Bible School starts, the kids going to be amazed about what we have all done together. So we need volunteers. We ask that you give invitations to anybody that you know who love kids that come just help us decorate the church on July 20th at 2 o'clock. Amen? With that being said, you know we're going out this right after church, so we ask that you would be prayerful to stay down. Take 7 minutes to go and change clothes and come back in so we can give you instructions, and then we're going to be about our Father's business. Amen? Every head is bowed. Come on and stand with me. Here's the benediction. Holy God, we ask that you will now make us holy. We present ourselves to you right now as a living sacrifice. Hearing what you have said through your man servant today, oh God, we ask you to use us to help somebody else be saved. And we ask the anointing of the Holy Spirit will fall on us as well as the ones we witness to. We're trying to co-work with you, oh God, to build your kingdom. So let us start with this Vacation Bible School and Backpack Project. We ask that you do what is necessary for parents to see that they are in need of a Savior as their kids are. And we will educate them through your word so they can develop a concrete relationship with you. So now use us as you see fit so that we may glorify your name and that we may be saved. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen.
Just want to add that there will be a blitz, a phone blitz on that Sunday as well. From the names of the backpack people that came last year, we'll be inviting them to Vacation Bible School and to the backpack rally on the 27th. Yes.
And don't forget about the tailgate. All right, Brother Chester, out here in the parking lot. Amen.
I've come too far, and I'm never turned back. God is, God is, God is, God is.
Right. Yeah.